All right, let me get off the stage. Before doing that, I want to introduce the gentleman who is going to be preaching today. His name is Artie Lindsay. Artie comes to us from Tabernacle Community Church here in Grand Rapids. I think it's in Alger Heights, correct? Alger Heights, yeah. One of the things I wanted to do when I moved here is know who else is in this city that longs for the renewal of God. So I started meeting with pastors all over this city and region. And I met with Artie and I thought, oh man, you've got to teach at Mars sometime. Let me describe him in a word. Smooth. He's smooth. And I talk about smooth operator, but she's going to bring up a bad 80s song that I know many of you just want to get out of your heads. But there it is. It's back in your heads. You're welcome. Artie comes to us. He's got a beautiful bride, Raquel, as well as three kids. One of them's names are AJ. I'm pretty excited about that. And we're just so excited to have you. Would you join me in welcoming our friend Artie? And just want to pray for this guy as he moves forward. Holy Spirit, move deeply in us, among us, and through this man. We love you. We welcome your presence. We welcome this new friend into our presence. May we receive your words from him because we trust what you're doing in the church around the world, around Alger Heights, around Grand Rapids. We welcome it in our midst. In your name, amen.
Well, good morning. It's so good to be here at Mars Hill. And I'm grateful to God for this budding relationship with AJ and with Mars Hill and just the opportunity to share with you from God's word. God is good, isn't he? And he's worthy to be praised. I just want to kind of set the stage here. Feel free to engage in this teaching opportunity. So I'm used to people talking back to me. That's all I ask. We've all watched the space shuttle lift off from planet Earth to go into outer space, into the heavens. It sits there on the launch pad, ready to move into a whole different realm. But that space shuttle goes absolutely nowhere until fire has ignited it. A blazing fire that takes it from the gravitational pull of the Earth and delivers it to the glory of the heavens. No fire, no liftoff, no igniting. No destiny. The countdown begins, and by the time they hit zero and the boosters are ignited, the ship is ready to take off into outer space. Many of us have been earthbound too long. No matter how much we desire to lift off to accomplish our mission, we don't seem to be able to get off the ground. So what's keeping us from getting off the ground and getting into the mission that God has called us to? What's keeping us from getting to the work that God has called us to? The countdown is taking place. Every day, you get older and older. So here's the question. Are our lives too busy? Our lives too busy? Have we decided that our agenda is more important than God's agenda? Have we settled for the mundane and the ordinary life of just having a private faith instead of exploring the bold adventure of being a courageous follower of Jesus and the life that awaits us, that abundant life that God intends for you and I to have? Or is it just simply that we don't know how to discover God's call for our lives? So today, I want to take a look at the call of Abram. And together, I want us to discover the missional journey that God has for our lives. Let's see what we could learn together as we look at his life and as we begin to practice what we learn from Abram's life so that we may accomplish the mission that God has for us. I will conclude with a strategy that I learned a few years ago while participating in a learning community. It's called the Bless Strategy. So go with me to Genesis chapter 12. But in order to fully embrace Genesis chapter 12 and the call of Abram, you and I must understand that Genesis chapter 11 happens. And it sets the context for our understanding Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. So if you're familiar, Genesis chapter 11, you have the Tower of Babel. You have all of these people who have come together to make a name for themselves, who have come together to build a city unto themselves. And shortly after Genesis 11, you begin to see the genealogy and gain an understanding of the life of this man called Abram. Chapter 12 opens with the call of Abram. And it's there in chapter 12 that we begin to realize that God's plan and God's purpose is to bless the world. And that God has designed and set in place the intention to bless all people on the earth. Genesis 12 says, "The Lord God said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" Say, "You will be a blessing." "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Genesis 12, 1 through 3. This is the word of the Lord. One of the things that I've discovered over the last 30 years of being a follower of Jesus is that God's call on your life will often require you to let go of something in order to go where God wants you to go. That his call, in order for you and I to discover his mission for our lives, to join him in this great adventure called life, we have to forsake and follow. We have to forsake and follow him. This is true in the life of Abram. If you look at Abram's life, God's call to him was a call away from his comfort and a call away from familiarity. And oftentimes, God's call to his mission in the world is from something to something. If you'll look in the text makes it very clear that Abram is called from his country. He's called from his people. He's called from his family. And he's called to a place that the scripture says, that God says, "I will show you." A place that I will show you. You know, for those of us who are control freaks, for those of us who have to know every step of our journey, for those of us who have to know what God is doing and where he's taking us, this totally puts us in a place of dependence on God. And so Abram finds himself being called into a journey. And so what God is saying is, I'm calling you to join me in the journey of life. God is saying that you have to forsake something and follow me in this following, in this taking Abram to a place that God will show him, to a land that he will show him. God is saying, I'm calling you to a personal journey. And in that personal journey, it means that you've got to check in with me. In that personal journey of me leading you and guiding you, that means you have to be in relationship with me. Because I have not defined what the location is, you have to walk with me on a daily basis and follow my direction. Are you listening? God is calling you to greatness. But in order for you to walk in it, what is it that you have to lay aside? What is it that God is calling you to forsake? What is it that God is calling you to walk away from? It's challenging to follow God. It's challenging to be on a journey where God is leading and directing. I found myself, instead of wanting to go where God leads, I found myself finding my security and my significance in all the wrong things. I found myself trying to live into what I thought was right. And oftentimes, my money, my abilities, and the variety of ways that I have allowed things to usurp God's authority in my life has caused me not to follow his plan. Have you ever been there? This was clearly the case in Genesis chapter 11. It's clearly the case in Genesis chapter 11 where the people there decided that they wanted to do their own thing. The builders depended upon their own skill, their own abilities. They depended upon their own ingenuity instead of following God's way. And it's almost as if the writer places chapter 11 and chapter 12 alongside each other so that we can see what it looks like for those who follow their own way and for those like Abram who are willing to move away and forsake things in order to follow God's plan. Notice, if you will, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, here, people usurping the authority of God. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Here, these people have usurped God's authority. They're not concerned about filling the earth. Instead, they kind of huddled around themselves in their city out of fear. How often do you and I miss out on God's mission? Miss out on God's plan, miss out on God's purpose in our lives because of fear. We choose not to forsake and follow him simply because of fears in our lives. So we go. We go. And we fail to take bold steps of faith. We fail to go because we don't know where God wants to take us. And then there are moments where what ifs begin to build and develop in our minds. And when those what ifs begin to overwhelm us, when those what ifs begin to become too large for us to even move and to forsake and follow, you have to remind yourself that you serve a God that's bigger than the what ifs. That the God that we follow is so much greater. So in the call of Abram, we discovered not only do we have to forsake and follow, but we also need to trust God's promises. We have to forsake and follow him, but we also need to trust God's promises. Look at what the text says. He says to Abram, I will make a great nation from you. Now, this is interesting because when I go back to chapter 11, verse 30, I realize that Sarai, Abram's wife, is barren and they don't have any children. But God says, I will make a great nation out of you. Wait a minute. There's no children. How is it that God would make a great nation out of Abram? Chapter 12, verse 4 helps us to recognize that at the call of Abram, Abram is actually 75 years old. And at 75 years old, with no children and a wife that's barren, God makes a promise to make a nation from him. And you know the story. This is how it goes. 11 years later, they try to help God out. And that doesn't turn out so well. And then 14 years after that, the child that's promised, the nation that the child would develop from, the promise was actually fulfilled. Now, some of us at 75 think that God can't do anything great with us, but God does something great in the life of Abram at 75 and even greater at 100. God is still doing great things in the lives of people who are willing to trust his promise. So Abram, trusting God's promise, God says, I will make a nation out of you. Verses 6 and 7 are interesting because God says, there's a land I'm going to show you. And in verses 6 and 7, he reveals to us something about this land. Look at what he says. He says, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So listen to this. God promises Abram that he'll give him this land. And it tells us that the Canaanites are currently occupying this land. Somebody else is in this land. Why does it seem like the promises of God always come with a challenge? Here in trusting the promises of God, there is tension that exists. And Abram is being called to live into the tension of recognizing that even when God calls us to trust him, that it doesn't mean it comes without challenge. Five times in two verses, God says, I will bless you. I will give you favor. I will give you prosperity. I will give you fertility. I will give you potency. I will give you victory. He reminds us over and over and over again that there's a promise of blessing. The promise to bless those who bless Abram, the promise to curse those who come against Abram in any kind of way. And that same favor of God has been extended to you and I through Jesus Christ. That same favor of God has been extended to us, to the church, by way of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, verses 28 and 29, because Jesus is the promised seed that is spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The text says that I will make a great name of you. Isn't it interesting that in Genesis chapter 11, that the people who were building the city, isn't it interesting that they were building the city with the purpose of making a great name for themselves, and we don't know any of their names? And yet we know Abram. We know Abram, who later becomes Abraham. His name has been made great. God has kept his promise to Abram. Chapter 12, verse 4 says, and Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abram trusted the promises of God. Hebrews 11 and 8 says it this way: by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That takes faith. So you and I, if we want to discover God's mission and purpose for our lives, we have to forsake and follow God. We have to trust his promises. And when we do those things, it rightfully positions us to be a blessing to others. It rightfully positions us to be a blessing to others. Here's what the text says. It says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Here is what the text is saying. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. God created you, God blessed you, God provided for you so that you would in fact be a blessing. Here's what he's saying. He's saying to Abram, he's saying that I will provide for you. I will give favor in your life for the exact purpose of blessing other people. It's kind of like this idea of being a channel, being a vessel of God's blessing. God says, I pour it in, and then you pour it out to other people. But unfortunately, I think we've been so impacted by Western culture that we're not in the blessing business, that we receive the blessings of God much more like a cul-de-sac instead of a channel. One way in and one way out, and usually it's for our benefit. And so what God is saying is that I've designed you, I've created you to be a blessing to others. Abram was given a personal promise. He was given a national promise. He was given a global promise. You see, God's plan is not just for your own blessing and benefit. God's plan, even as we look at Acts 1:8, we see that our God moves in an outward movement. It always begins with us, but it moves outward to the farthest reaches of the earth. So God's call is for us to be a blessing to him. And so over the next few minutes, I want to give you a strategy that I learned as I was engaged in a learning community several years ago, a strategy that can help you bless other people. Is that all right? The first letter is the letter B. B in the bless strategy is begin with prayer. Can somebody say amen? Prayer is the beginning of the bless strategy. Begin to pray for your community. Begin to pray for those you come in contact with. Spend time on a daily basis talking to God and saying, God, give me opportunities, give me interactions where I can be a blessing to somebody else. It's a great way to start your day. Not God, give me, not God, transform me. God, allow me to be a blessing in all the interactions that I have today. Isn't it amazing to look at the ministry of Jesus and how Jesus, even before calling his team together, his team who would bless the nations, his team that would help him in blessing the world, he spent all night in prayer. He spent all night seeking the Father's guidance and direction. And you and I have the privilege every single day as we rise before the Lord to say, Lord, help me to be a blessing in every interaction that I come in contact with. Second letter of bless is L. And L stands for listen. How many of you know that listening is one of the greatest gifts that you can offer to anyone? Listen. So as a husband, I'm learning this. Stop trying to fix it and just listen. Man, what a challenge. But God is calling us that as a part of the blessed strategy is for you and I to begin to listen to people, to listen to their stories, to listen to what's happening in their lives, listen to see and to discover how God is working around you. And so when we have conversations with people and we listen to their pain and we listen to their struggle and we listen to their heartache, when we begin to listen, oftentimes you can find God's mission in the midst of listening. As a church community, at Tabernacle Community Church, we're engaged in neighborhood outreach. And part of that process is a process of listening. We have not assumed that we know what's best for our neighbors. You know, sometimes as followers of Jesus, we think we know what's best for everyone. So we've engaged in a process of listening to the community to hear from them and to discover what God is already at work doing. You see, when you show up in a community, you don't bring God there. God is already there in the midst of the pain and the sorrow and the struggle and the difficulty. But part of the blessed strategy is looking at how do we learn to listen. And so one of the things, a shift has occurred for us as a community. Instead of us looking at the city, instead of us looking at the city as a battleground to be conquered and to be overcome, we now see the city as a playground where the grace of God is abounding for all people. We now see the city as a parish where the streams of faith, of all streams of faith, are flowing so that people can in fact flourish. We see the city as a classroom where we can listen and learn from. But it all begins by listening. And if we don't listen, we'll miss how God is moving. Letter E in the blessed strategy is eat. Do we like to eat? I love eating. There is something about eating. There is something about table fellowship. When people sit down together, there is something significant about eating with people around the table, especially during biblical times. It meant that you identified, you associated yourself with the people that you actually are eating with. Jesus, in the call of Matthew, when he calls Matthew and he calls Matthew to follow him, shortly after he goes and he sits and he eats with him and all of his friends, and it was scandalous because Jesus identified himself with the people that he ate with. There's a great quote found in Alan Hirsch's book, Right Here, Right Now. It says, sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. If every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating. So as my time closes, let me give you the two S's. S in the blessed strategy is to serve. When you begin with prayer, when you listen to the struggles and the realities of people's lives and you sit down and you eat with them and they get to kind of let down their hair and me with no hair just kind of enjoys the opportunity to eat with them, God opens up doors to serve. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And we, him as our model, we get an opportunity to serve others and to bless them. And then finally, the last S in the blessed strategy is, as God has given you opportunity and exposed you to individuals and interactions to listen, to eat, and to serve, you are positioned to share the story of God to them. So many of us want to start with sharing the story of God, and we've done nothing to pray about it or to listen, to interact by eating with people and serving them. But in the blessed strategy, it positions you because people want to know how and why you've done all the things that you've done. You get an opportunity to share the story of God. And this is the beauty of the blessed strategy. When you've done the other four steps, it opens the door to share the story of God in your life. And I'm so thankful for the story of God in the life of Abram. And how we've seen how God is working in and through his life. I pray that you will hear the call of God in your life today, and that you will join him on mission in this world, that you'd be willing to forsake and to follow him, that you trust in his promises, and that you would be willing to be a blessing to others in this world. And I promise you, watch God launch you into the great adventure called the abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and for your extreme goodness in our lives. You have blessed us extravagantly, God. And now may we be a people who overflow in those blessings, that it brings about the renewal and restoration of your kingdom. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for the privilege of joining you in that great mission to bless the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.